Well, today I'm going to talk about a subject that I've been working with for a number of years now, and that's trying to develop management zones for nematode problems that we have. And most of you are well aware that nematodes are not one of these nice, perfect organisms that occurs in a nice patterns and so forth in a field that makes it real easy to work with. You have cases like this with root knot nematode where you can see certain areas of the field are showing severe impact and other areas of the field are seem to be quite healthy, quite normal. We see the same thing with reniform nematode here. You can see out towards the center of the field, the plants are very stunted along the edge of the field here. The plants are a lot more normal looking. So you can see there are some differences in within these fields. And one of the things that we've been looking at for a number of years is trying to look at some tools to how to develop some of these management zones. One of the tools that we really like is this Veris 3100 soil EC mapping system because it's a nice surrogate for soil texture, meaning that the higher the number, the more clay content that you have, the lower the number, the sandier the fields. And this really gives us a great picture of what's going on out in the field, something we never had before in the past. And this gives us two readings, a shallow reading down to a 1 foot in the soil or to down to 3 foot for the deep reading, so to kind of keep that in mind for later on. And again, this gives you some information here. This is how it's done. You sample with this EC rig about every 40 foot across the field. You can see how the strips look through here to the left. And then you can see we run this through an interpolation program. There's really 7,958 points in this field. So a lot of information, and we interpolate that, break it down into a series of classes. And you can see the lighter the color here, the kind of the white color is a very light soil texture, to the dark color is more of a heavy clay soil. And each field that we have will be different compared to something like that. Well, one of the things that we wanted to do this past year was to look at several different ways of how to create some management zones. And this is kind of what I'm going to talk about today. And these are the three here that you see listed. The use of soil EC and nematode incidence, or the occurrence of nematode populations that are out there in the field. The second one here is the use of a historical information, the farmer's personal knowledge of that field. And then the third one here is to kind of the development of a risk map. And it's, again, this risk map is either based on the fact that we know a little bit about soil texture with EC information, and also we have previous yield from this field. So we're trying to look at multiple things going on here at one time. And we'll start off here looking at this combination of EC information and nematode incidence. This is a series of fields here from what we call the Goldman Farms, about 278 acres. There was about seven or eight fields in here that we're working with. You can see here kind of the textural component of these fields from NRCS information. Most of the field is a commerce silt loam, with parts of some of these fields being a commerce silty clay loam. So you can see there will be a little bit of differences in here. This is what the deep EC information looks like across these series of, I think, about seven fields. And you can see here the numbers range from the low of about 30 to up to a high of about 184. And this is the deep EC reading that we're looking at here. So the lighter the soils will be the shallow ones here, the 30 to 58, to the heavier parts of the field being the 116 to 184. And as you remembered where it was talking about the silty clay loam soils before, that's going to be some of the heavier parts of these fields. Well, we know this field's had a history of nematode problems. These fields here have reniform nematode. And again, you can see some information. We went in the fall of last year and did zone sampling of these fields. And you can see the nematode incidents that are occurring in these fields. The crop last year was corn. But you do see there's quite a bit of distribution of reniform nematode in these fields. So what we tried to do then was try to match up the combination now of the EC information and this nematode incidence to kind of come up and develop these treatment zones for this field. And again, you can see here the green is the part of the field that would be treated, and the red would be the part of the field that would be untreated. And this is, again, based on the combination of EC information and knowing a little bit about the incidence of that nematode. We had also a number of strips in these fields, a series of about four different strips. We call these our verification strips. These are where we have continuous treatments of telome throughout the field, through the various zones, and then untreated strips right beside that that goes through all these various zones in the field to really let us know how we're doing as far as information. These fields then were treated this past spring with our telome at a 3-gallon rate, and again, we got yield from that information. Unfortunately, last year was not necessarily a great year for us as far as crop production in Louisiana. We had both severe drought and devastating hurricane damage, so we didn't really end up with great information here because the yields were so poor. This is much lower yields than what we're expecting. Now, this is just looking at the different zones, treated versus untreated. Looks like it's split my numbers a little bit there, but what you can see is there's very little difference between the treated and the untreated in the various zones across the field. And we really were expecting to see our big differences in the zone one. That's the lightest part of the field. That's where we really were expecting to see a lot of differences. And we really didn't expect to see a whole lot in, say, zones 3, 4, and 5. That's where we're not expecting it. But again, I think the biggest problem we had there was the weather this year for us. Our second field that we looked at was it's an 84-acre field where we're looking at the farmer's historical information. He has known he had a problem here with nematodes in this field, and so he wanted to go out there and treat the parts of the field where he knew he had a problem. The whole entire field is Bruin Commerce silt loam, so it's a nice, again, a nice type of soil. And this is the way that we did this. The farmer kind of developed, this is his own plan. This is where he would like to treat in the field based on where he knew that he had seen the problems in the past. And you can see the green areas are the treated areas of the field and the red areas are the untreated areas of the field. And again, you can see we have our verification strips in the field, the treated and untreated strips that go across the field. And you can see here how these strips look through here. We also had a little bit of information I wanted to about the field itself. So I did know we did have the field that had the DPC information from this field. So and I just kind of looked at that later on to kind of see how we were doing in that field as far as that goes. And you can see some of the numbers here in the field. Shows from the really light DPC readings, which this were very, very sandy parts of the field from 718 down deep for us. That's pretty sandy soil on up to a little bit heavier soil there, heavier parts of the field. But you can see, again, even though the field was a one soil texture component, essentially, when you look at it with the DPC, you see there's a lot more to it than that. Again, we went in there at harvest time with our yield monitors and collected yield information from this field, and you can see the various ranges again that we are getting here from the field, from really low yields in this field up to about 1,100 pounds of lint. And we did see some differences here in this field as far as just breaking it down into some of the light textural zones that I did here. And you can see about a 277-pound lint increase in the first zone, 131-pound lint increase in the second zone, and 101 in the third zone. So we really were getting some pretty good differences out there. And the fourth zone, of course, is a little bit heavier soil. We didn't really expect to see a whole lot there, and we really didn't see a whole lot. So we did see some good differences here. So what we discovered was that the farmer was pretty good as far as his prediction of where to treat in the field. We also, after the fact, went in and did a little bit of zone sampling to see kind of what kind of nematodes we were dealing with. He thought he had a root knot nematode problem, and he does. He has a root knot nematode problem in his field. But we also discovered he has a really bad reniform problem in his field. Now, reniform, as you well know, is one that doesn't produce any nice distinctive symptoms or galls or anything to make it readily identifiable to most farmers. So he didn't really know he had a reniform problem out there. So he really has got a combination of these two nematodes present in the same field. Now what we tried to do then was, for his sake, he was pretty accurate as far as his prediction of where to treat and where not to treat. But when we look at the combination of the nematode information and the EC information, I think we can tweak a little bit of his of his recommendation for this field. And you can see this bottom map here shows where now we would look at where you got the two treatment zones, the untreated and untreated, and we can kind of fine-tune it a little bit for him and give him a little bit better area to treat for next year. And our third field, our third way that we're looking at is try to develop some risk maps. And this, we're looking again here at this combination of DBC information and also the previous yield of cotton in that particular field. And again, this is just the EC information from that field. You can see it ranges in here again from a pretty low 1.9 to about 53. And so we broke that down into a series of about five different categories. And I also gave each one of these a number designation. You can see the one in front of the sandiest and lightest part of the field to the five being the heaviest part of the field. And that'll come in, and I'll show you what the purpose of that is in a little bit. And then we also went in and looked at the previous yield of cotton in this field to kind of find out where the problems had occurred in the past. And then what we did was we normalized it, which basically is nothing more than taking the average yield across that field and then dividing it into the various areas out there in the field. And what we ended up with then is then you can get anywhere from, you just get a percentage here, and it's anywhere from 34% basically up to 216% of your average in that field. And again, you can see the different areas of the field that had really low yield in the past as far as the field average is concerned to really high yield in the field where the average is. And again, like before, I gave each of these a number designation from 1 to 5, with 1 for the fields that had the lowest yield to 5 being the parts of the field that had the highest yield. And then what I did for this risk map was kind of combine the two pieces of information, the information about the DBC of that field and also the normalized yield in that field. And then I just broke them down into, again, a series of categories with the dark red here with a total of about 2 to 3. That's obviously the parts of the field that have the most potential problems from nematodes and also had most problems in the past with yield and so forth, and these were the lightest parts of the field. With the risk category of, let's say, 8 to 10 being the parts of that field that really yielded extremely well in the past and also probably have some of the better soil texture, better readings in the field. So these are not the likeliest parts of the field to have risk. And again, we would then go in and break this down into treatment zones again, but the green being the part of the field that you would need to treat, and the red being the part of the field you would not need to treat. We put out our verification strips, again like we did before, through the various parts of the area, and then we kind of looked at it and see what kind of response we got. Again, a crummy year for us. We had pathetic yields, so in our high risk areas of the field we really got no response. In our low risk areas of the field we got no response. So again, our concept was really good, but unfortunately the weather was too poor for us to really get good information from that. But the bottom line here, though, I think, is that certainly there are a number of different ways that you can develop management zones. Certainly no one specific way is one that you have to look at. But the most important thing, I think, that we need to do is we need to be able to have something like these verification strips to measure just how effective whatever management zone creation that you have is. Thank you. Time for questions. Anyone have any questions? Yes, Bob. Yes.
Just to be determined by the analysis, but as I say, I think that this is a very conservative or whatever, but it's not efficiently determining that effect.
Mm-hmm. I think it has really good potential, Bob. And I think something like this has really good potential. One of the things with this trying to develop management zones, it's not an exact science in the sense that we're ever going to create these perfect zones, and because there's going to be variability from year to year and so forth, but the all we can do is get them as fine as we can as far as coming up and developing these different methods.
That's it. Yeah.
No,
I'm stopped. Sorry. You'll have to talk to me later.
All right. Very good.